Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. All right, another reminder on snacks on the go. This is where Paleo Valley comes in huge for us. And I will tell you, as a person who grew up with a super bad stomach ache, I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but like literally I needed to like lay down in restaurants because my stomach would hurt so bad. And I just attributed that to genetics. Like, oh, my mom has a bad stomach, so I have a bad stomach. Well, turns out wasn't until I actually started to be really mindful and pay attention to what actually was I putting in my body? What are the foods? What are the types of products? What do they have in them that I'm putting in my body? And when I started to realize that, oh my goodness, how everything changed. Literally life-changing to not have to walk around with gas X on you all the time. I will 100% say that's what I had to do because my stomach was that awful. So one of the things that we do, especially when we're taking snacks on the go, is we grab Paleo Valley. We know that they're putting good ingredients. They're very mindful of their products and what they put in them, and they're good. It is sometimes hard to find healthy snacks that you actually know are beneficial for your body. So grab yourself some Paleo Valley, check it out. The link is in our show notes and use code OPTIMAL so that you can get a discount. My favorite beef steak, by the way, is the jalapeno. So good. If you're like me, try it out and you'll love it. Coming to you today from our home in Minnesota, actually. So if you're watching on YouTube, you get to see us in our lovely new living room.
Change of scenery, right?
Yeah.
If you got bored of the stools and the white background, this is when you want to watch.
Hey, it's still kind of white, you know? It's just a little different.
That's true. A little woodsy.
Exactly. No, but today we're going to talk about ribs because this is actually something that's probably the most common thing I hear from my girlfriend.
I was like, how many friends of yours have come to us like, oh my gosh, I slipped a rib?
It was like three in 1 year, yeah, I think.
I worked on one of them. I worked on Julia a bit when she had it.
Yeah. And they all come to me saying, my rib is out of place, rib subluxation, you know, something about this horrific, like thinking that their rib is literally displaced from their rib cage. And I get it. They're in severe pain. Whenever pain comes up for anyone, me too, guys, you know, we're all human. We suddenly think, you know, what is the image looking like because it's causing this much pain?
Yeah. And I think one of the first things we want to dive into is just to talk a little bit about the rib cage. I mean, we'll get into what these slipped ribs are, what might be happening. But
those first, were air quotes, by the way, that he used.
Yeah. Rib slips. But what is the rib cage? And it's really this collection of ribs. Some are called true ribs, some are false ribs, some are called floating ribs. And we're going to kind of dice through what that all means quick.
Yeah, exactly. So the first through seven ribs, this is technically called your true ribs because it's literally meaning it's connecting around from the thoracic spine all the way over to the sternum. And they're held together from our cartilage between the ribs and then the cartilage that's coming from the sternum and connecting them to the rib cage that way as well.
And one thing I think that is important is we're going to use some terminology that I just want to put out there quick. Like when we say things that have costo in it. Costo, that verbiage, it's a Latin root that means rib. And chondral is meaning cartilage. So you'll hear say like costochondritis and different things like that, that are just fancy words that mean ribs and cartilage.
Yeah.
So yeah. What about the next ribs?
Yeah. Good thing to keep in mind. Next week, ribs, that's our false ribs, mm-hmm. meaning that no longer are they connecting into the sternum. So they're kind of held together more so just from the cartilage that is between the ribs and then a little bit from just some fibrous tissue. So you know, they're thought to not be as tightly interconnected, obviously, because now they're not going directly from the rib cage to the sternum. Mm-hmm. They're now just kind of hanging out underneath the sternum. And this is mainly where we're going to be kind of addressing and talking about, mainly where people start to feel this kind of pain.
Yeah. And that cartilage is still a very strong connective tissue, but it has a little more play with it, kind of like the end of your nose versus your cheekbone, right? Bone versus cartilage. And then the last ribs, 11 and 12, tend to be called floating ribs because they don't have any cartilage that then attaches them into the sternum. They're kind of the ones way down there that if you feel, you can kind of just like feel them floating there.
Yeah, exactly. And so what happens when we're talking about slipped ribs? I think this is, first of all, when we're looking through the literature and the research as we do for every podcast, you know, the thing that stood out to both of us was this verbiage.
Yeah.
That this is what we use in the medical community is we literally call this syndrome slipped rib syndrome. So imagine the thought process, the idea that immediately comes to your mind. If you slip on something, that's traumatic,
yeah.
Right? If you slip and fall or something slips underneath you, like there is this image of displacement. I mean, and there's other verbiage that people use when they're diagnosed with this too.
Yeah, one that I love was nerve nipping or rib tip syndrome,
yeah.
Displaced rib,
yeah.
Clicking rib, all these different terms. And again, it's just kind of like describing this thought that puts this thought in our mind that the rib is doing something, the rib is moving and is not stable. And one thing that I want to point out is the rib cage, along with the pelvis, were built to be some of the most stable structures in our body. Like all of these ribs that come around, they're built to protect our heart, to protect our lungs, our aorta, which is this major vessel that shoots all the blood out into our body. And that combined with the pelvis create this incredible canister. How much do we talk about the core that protects
all the time,
all of our organs?
Yeah.
Right. So that one thing that I want to establish is the rib cage is intensely stable.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I think that's really important to remember. So when we're talking about, I mean, when they say slipping rib syndrome, what they're really meaning is that lower part, again, going back to those false ribs, so not necessarily attaching into the sternum, and they're just really saying that the cartilage, not necessarily the ribs itself, but the cartilage has now moved or slipped is the verbiage that they're using.
Yeah.
And it's causing some irritation at the nerves that go into that costal cartilage.
Yeah. I mean, what causes our pain? It's always the nerves. That are going to perceive that. And mm-hmm. So if the ribs are slightly less stable, because again, what's between our pelvis and our rib cage? Our core. And again, we talk about the core on almost every episode. And if we're not coordinating that core support and that core, that beautiful core that we've been given to support this bottom portion of the rib cage where it starts to turn into the floating ribs and false ribs. Again, our body has so beautifully built this transition session. Like,
yeah.
Okay, we're not just going to go from these really stable fixed ribs and then go to nothing. No, it like transitions you out and it gives you these false ribs. Like, okay, here's a little more support, but so you still have some support here. And then the false ribs, which are obliques and our different abdominal muscles attach into along with those lower floating ribs. So again, what that's telling me, if that's moving too much and irritating a nerve in that area, we need to work on stabilizing it more with our own ability.
Exactly. And that's really like what they found is like, what is the cause of this, right? Why does this happen? And the majority of what I was reading is that it's just, they can assume that it's just maybe it's hypermobility of the body and it's causing this hypermobility of the rib cage, which is allowing it to feel out of place, allowing it to feel a little bit more irritation, maybe into those nerves or those muscles having to work a little bit harder. And so maybe there's possible strains or pulls and things that you're feeling extra around mm-hmm. that area, right? And so when we're talking about, you know, and also the causes can come from traumatic injuries. So especially if you're in a sport that is very high impact and you get hit in the ribs a lot. Like yeah. I had a friend who we were just on a call and she is a stunt artist, she's kind of amazing, but she just got nailed in the ribs. And she's like, how long does this take?
I can't even breathe.
Oh, it's going to take a little while. I'm so sorry. But she knows she's okay. She doesn't need to get imaging. Yeah. She doesn't need to go, you know, because at the end of the day, and not that it's bad to get imaging, and especially like if this isn't going away, you do want to get imaging.
Yeah.
However, what we're saying here is that this, if you get some kind of traumatic injury to the rib cage, it's very normal to feel a lot of pain in that area.
Absolutely. And I mean, not only traumatic or like collision type sports, but I think about golf, tennis, baseball, something that people are rotating a lot. And a lot of times we rotate uncontrollably and throw ourselves into that end stage rotation really fast without being able to control the deceleration of our body with our core. And I've worked with a lot of people who will be like, man, I golfed two rounds as a part of a tournament and I can't even breathe or move because they irritated their ribs so much. Mm-hmm. And we keep bringing up this imaging, like seriously, if someone tells you you have a slipped rib and you went and got an x-ray, you'd see nothing.
And that's what one of my friends did. She was told by a clinician that she had a displaced rib or rib subluxation. She went to get an image and the doctor said, well, I mean,
you're not going to see anything.
She didn't see anything. The doctor said, confirmed, which I appreciate, you know, you don't have actually a rib displaced. You don't have a subluxed rib. And not saying again that this can't happen.
Well, and sublux just means it partially dislocates. So a small dislocation, but subluxations generally go right back to their normal resting place.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the place isn't going to be irritated for a little bit.
Yeah.
So you're not ever going to like, rarely ever see a subluxed joint because usually that's just a very short-term thing, but it still irritates the area.
And guess what can happen when something gets irritated? Inflammation can build in the area and you can palpably feel inflammation in an area sometimes.
So
edema
this,
in an area that causes, you know, what feels then like I can feel, literally feel my rib out of place. And sometimes that's just inflammation.
And that's where like the imaging that they would say you might be able to see something on could be an ultrasound where you can see the different layers and see the different layers of fluid and be like, oh yeah, there's just some extra fluid in this area. Or an MRI might show with some, you can usually see the fluid on MRIs where there's inflammation. So like, again, you'll just see like, oh yeah, there's some fluid and inflammation pooling around this rib.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do?
What
next?
Yeah. And those like, you know, you want to do deeper imaging on things or get different kinds of tests if it could be a differential diagnosis. Like sometimes you're feeling chest pain, pain around the upper chest, upper back, rib cage area when it can be sometimes related to ulcers. It could be related to
pleuritis, which is like the inflammation of your lung lining,
appendicitis, like a lot of these things that are organ inflammation related.
I mean,
things,
if you have thoracic back pain, it can irritate a nerve root that's running around a certain rib level, and then that could be another differential,
right? So yes, in that case, then sometimes different types of testing, different types of imaging is going to be necessary. And it's not necessarily even related to the ribs or the cartilage around the rib cage or anything like that. So that's when it would be more beneficial to get more imaging. So especially if you're doing some of the exercises we're going to talk about and you're not seeing any kind of improvement, well, then and maybe you notice a change after you eat a meal, a certain type of meal, or you do whatever it may be, there might be other things that are going on. That's all we're saying. And that's why sometimes going to get, extra testing, going to talk to an MD about your symptoms and what you're experiencing and when you're experiencing them can be very beneficial.
And, I mean, not even an MD, but a PT is trained to be able to differentially kind of diagnose, is this coming from rib inflammation? Is this coming from something that is mechanical? They'll do a lot with you with breathing. They'll have you do a lot of movements versus might this be something that is referring from our organs, which is some of the things that we just laid out. And if they kind of determine like, I'm not noticing that this is something directly coming from your ribs, why don't we head over and go see your primary and see if they have any thoughts?
Exactly. We do get tested on, trying our best to figure out, it might be coming from an organ. There's different palpation, uses that we can do to kind of rule those in or rule those out. And if we think that, especially talking about when the pain is happening, eating something, going on a run, asthma related things as well, then we might for sure, know to refer out.
Absolutely. So when we do have this issue with the slipped rib,
yeah,
what the heck we do? I think this is where we go back and talk about the core a little bit.
I mean, and what do we talk about when we talk about the core? We baseline of everything that we always talk about, almost every podcast, is the breath. Because mm-hmm. as we, if we're going to get that diaphragm to move up and down, what has to happen? Our rib cage has to expand and compress. And it's going to make those muscles around the rib cage move. It's going to make the cartilage between the rib cage move and expand and change in different ways. And sometimes, especially if you're having a rib issue, deep breaths are not going to feel comfortable.
Absolutely. And that's where I literally just had somebody DM me a few days ago and say, like, I don't know if it was their boyfriend or their husband, but they're just like, man, he's having a lot of rib issues, wondering if I can work on some of this deep breathing stuff with him. Like, is that okay? And, you know, it's hard for us to give direct like consults through DM.
Yeah.
Generally what I say, like, hey, if you're breathing to your comfort and doing something that's not going to irritate you for, you know, a day or more afterwards, you can always explore with your breath. And that's always a good way to start. Like you said, getting that rib cage to feel like it can expand a little bit into that discomfort. Exhale to get it to contract a little bit down, mm-hmm. using that diaphragm in synchronicity with our transverse abdominis, that big corset that we have that literally tightens those ribs up for us a little bit to give us some stability. That's an amazing place to start.
Exactly. And, you know, if you want more direction on this, like, especially because we're going to be talking about how to add compression to the rib cage as well, we did all of this in the episode talking about the breath. So episode 11, you guys can go back and listen to that one. YouTube will show a lot of the exercises. So we'll link the YouTube video up for that as well. But highly, like, this is probably the number one episode that I'm referring out to people. Listen to this, watch this. It's going to give a lot of feedback in terms of what's happening. And, you know, the other thing that I was going to say too, one of the ways that we diagnostically look at it, if we're talking, okay, you don't need an image, how do you know that it's really ribs? Honestly, one of the things that they're doing, the most diagnostic tool that we have is just the hooking maneuver. Mm-hmm. And that's taking the hand, going underneath where it's painful and gently pulling upward or like anteriorly to the front of your body. So if you do that, okay, first of all, a lot of people cannot even get their fingers underneath the rib cage. So already, without having to pull or do anything, that's painful.
Yeah.
Who's ever getting their stomach massaged or their rib cage massaged? Like, we don't even get a lot of feedback to that area and a lot of stimulation. So already, the hook is going to be painful.
Yeah, if people are at home like trying to dig their fingers in the front of the front of their rib cage and be like, "Man, I think I have an issue." But again, it's a great place to start, especially if you don't feel your rib cage expanding a lot. Mm-hmm. Try to daily, every other day, work your fingers under the front of your rib cage. I love doing this and just like grabbing and kind of expanding and compressing my ribs myself. And
you're literally doing the maneuver.
Totally. And when you go to a PT sometimes, I've had my friends do this to me and stuff because I tend to have a much more flared anterior rib cage. Mm-hmm. And what they'll do when they want me to do certain exercises or do certain things, they'll just put compression around my low rib cage and say, okay, now take a breath, whatever, and now do that movement. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, okay, great, I'm helping provide you stability in your low rib cage.
Exactly.
And there's ways that we can do this at home.
Exactly. And I do want to go back to like the pull up, because a positive sign would be the pain, you know, comes back. That's the main thing. But also you might hear some clicking. And honestly, Dom and I were just doing this before. We could both get clicking happening into our false or floating ribs. Like, I can just hang out all day and just click my rib back and forth.
So we just don't necessarily have the pain.
I don't have the pain, so I don't have a positive test with it for sure. However, it's not uncommon to get some clicking. Again, we said it's not connected to the sternum. You know, you're going to get a little bit more movement between the cartilage in that area, and it's not abnormal. So I just want to like clarify, if you do start like exploring and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting clicking or I'm getting this happening, normal.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, just to give a couple examples of ways in home that you can feel this, and I think that one of my favorites. I learned this from you the first few times I saw you do this, is taking a band, if you just have like a longer cut of TheraBand, and wrapping it a time or two around your low rib cage. You know, find kind of where those ribs end, go up a few inches and just wrap it around those low ribs and just sit there, or lay on your back and do some breaths and feel how that changes your feedback of feeling, oh, wow, I can feel my ribs pushing out into that band now and trying to expand. And try to just focus on expanding against that band and letting it help you contract down, and expanding against that band and letting you contract down. And just doing that for 5 minutes and then taking the band off and then repeating what you were just doing to see how it changes can be pretty eye-opening for some people.
Oh, totally. Because a lot of people don't even realize how much we're breathing up into our shoulders or up into our neck area, right? And we're not really getting that expansion in that rib cage. And note that, you know, always listen to your body, right? So we're not saying go take huge deep breaths and have pain while doing it. Especially if you're already having pain in your ribs or you're feeling like you've had this slipped rib, go only expand to what is comfortable and add more compression with your hands if you need to, because having that stability, that's what we as therapists provide for you. Exactly what Dom was talking about earlier. We provide that support and stability so that the system feels safe, so that it can start to gain more motion. That's all we're trying to do. We put hands on you as we move. Like, you might notice that there are some rib mobilizations that therapists can do as well. And all we're doing is we're providing support, stability, and taking you through safe ranges of motion. And so you can do this in your body as well. You know, even laying on your back provides a support. It provides that wall of safety for your body. And then you can start to like place your hands on your ribs and then move around as you're on the floor. Like, even that provides more, you know, just feedback to the brain that says, I'm safe, it's okay, and I can move a little bit. And then you try those breaths exactly how Dom was talking about into that lower rib cage as you breathe and move and slow down that breath, so that, again, we're creating safety. Safety, safety is the messages that we continue to report into the body. And you only move within what your pain tolerance is. And you might notice you do this for a few weeks. It's you're going to increase your range of motion.
You're going to increase your range of motion, and going through this process that, yeah, it might seem slow right away. And yeah, you might be annoyed that you need to lay there and breathe and focus on that for 4, 5, 6 days. But when you start to do it with this progression, again, we talk a lot about this patterning, that you're going to teach your body, okay, to do these movements and to do it so my body feels safe, I need to maintain that rib stability that I was so desperately craving in my body before. And once you start to realize, oh, hey, I'm finding that rib stability, I'm able to rotate more, I'm able to rotate further and come back and not have my body want to freak out and irritate those nerves, that's what's going to give you that long-term change. Like, although I love, as a PT, working with people and doing different rib mobilizations and putting hands on people, I think one of the greatest ways that I've been able to connect with people is by doing hands-on work. Yeah. I love hands-on work. It can feel amazing. I want you to be able to do it on your own and home, and then come back to me in 6 months and say, hey, I've been progressing. I think I irritated something a little bit because I'm getting too advanced. Yeah. Can you now help me navigate this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's so beautiful to have the empowerment that you have the tools available within yourself, right? And you don't have to rely on a clinician to do a specific maneuver. It can help for sure, but just know that you have the power within you to create change, to create betterment, to feel something different, and to ultimately go along your healing path and your healing journey. I think we get so tied up in this idea of someone going to help me, someone going to heal me. And there's time after time, and I still hear it from friends and family, you know, and it's just going to be on their own time where I have to go see the chiropractor, you know, because I have to get adjusted to feel something different. And again, that's okay. Or I have to go see a massage therapist because I have to feel something different. That's okay. You know, if it helps along the journey, great. We're just saying that you do have the power internally to create change. And we're here as therapists trying to help guide you through that path. So beyond just like the rib stuff, like when they have the band on, what are some great exercises that you like to to recommend, you know, to get that stability back into the area so they essentially don't have to wear the band anymore.
So I guess that if we're talking earlier stages, we talked about starting on your back.
Yeah.
You know, a place that's kind of classic to start is like alternating heel taps. But again, doing it with this band, I promise it'll feel different.
Yeah.
Because especially if you're somebody who's like, oh, well, I'm not sure if I'm doing this right, the band will help you find that stability and work into basic alternating heel taps, then straightening legs, doing things like that. And then we can progress to standing or different positions.
Yeah. And I like to like doing, if you're laying on your back and you do a bridge and then you kind of reach one hand over to the side of the opposite shoulder, like kind of over to the floor and then coming down bridge and reach over, you kind of get that rotation through that lower rib cage area.
And your body's going to want to extend a little bit. So you're going to need to keep active to prevent those ribs from, because I know as soon as I want to go overhead, my ribs want to flare out. So
yeah, so it kind of helps to control that core area. You're getting the glutes to work. So you're starting to get things kind of back in place. You can even flip over onto all fours, do some cat-cow. You could do some quadruped holds where you kind of hover the knees kind of barely off the floor when you're on all fours. Or you can even do some like thoracic rotation, you know, whether you're in child's pose and you're getting that elbow to kind of lift up, or you're in quadruped and you're kind of getting that rotation. So getting back into our thoracic controlled extension and rotation is huge for the rib cage. Because again, remember, it's connected into that spine.
Yeah.
So getting that mobility back is going to be huge, but doing it in a very controlled and safe manner is key.
Absolutely. And then when we're progressing a little more, getting into a half kneel, or, you know, having one knee down, like a Palloff press is a popular one where you're just staying in a stable position. Something's trying to pull you into rotation and you're needing to keep that, you know, different lift exercises that Jen and I show a lot of times where you're kind of, like she said, you're reaching up and away from
like a chop.
Yeah, like a lift or a chop. Those, again, they're getting you into that extension, rotation, flexion, rotation, and commanding some more controlled stability from our rib cage, the core. From our ribcage.
That area.
Yeah. The core controlling the ribcage.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're continuing to feel like this rib sensation over and over again, you're like, I do the breathing stuff. I do this. It doesn't work. I'm doing yoga. Your body is probably craving a little bit more safety, a little bit more stability. Again, we said that this is very common coming from hypermobility. So if you're naturally kind of hypermobile, you kind of have hitchhiker's thumb, your elbow kind of extends a lot, you know, this could be a sign of hypermobility within the body. So you're getting a little bit more movement within the rib cage. How do you combat that? Lift. Gain strength. Feel strong in the body. Yes, you want to do core. Yes, that's important. And building overall strength. Like every time we do a lift, a squat, a deadlift, you have to maintain your pillar. And so that is already core. You know, you don't have to do these Pilates looking exercises in order to get core. You do it just from lifting something heavy, carrying groceries and carrying your kid. Like these are all core exercises as well. And so if you're continuing to repeat this pattern of slipped ribs, I think we need to address, well, what are you doing in your exercises that are helping to maintain what your body is feeling stable and safe with as well.
Absolutely. If yoga is the thing you do the most and you're having this issue, yoga is probably not the thing you need to do more.
Yeah.
If lifting and doing strength training is the thing you do the most and you're having an issue like this, strength training and lifting more is probably not the answer. So that's where, look outside of what you currently do to maybe find that thing that supplements and complements what you already do really well.
100%. Couldn't say it better myself. Well, I hope that this was super supportive for you all to understand a little bit more about your ribs. Hopefully, we move away from the term slipped ribs in as we continue to learn about the body and see how it all integrates together and how it's so strong and beautiful. I mean, people moving through the challenge right now, they're getting to see how strong and beautiful and amazing their body is through understanding this core and mobility and strength. So it's so exciting. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at DocGenFit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.